Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
The information that Jesus has for us, the Holy Spirit gets it and delivers it to us. He downloads it to us so that we get what the Father is saying to Jesus. Jesus is saying it to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit tells us.
You have an advocate with the Father. Trust Jesus with every step of faith and rely on the Holy Spirit to direct you. Join Gloria and Kelly Copeland for more faith teaching on the Believer's Voice of Victory.
Hello, everybody. I'm Gloria Copeland. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Kelly Copeland's here with me today, and she's going to share some good things with us. Like what, Kelly? What are we talking about today?
Well, last week and this week we're talking about faith for today.
Faith for today.
Faith for tomorrow.
Yes.
And faith for endurance.
That's good.
It is good. Last week was really good.
You shared
some things, too, about faith and feeding your faith and how to put it into operation that were really important.
Thank you very much.
And I was thinking last night about how blessed we all are that I happen to be the one sitting here with you. So on their behalf, I'll say, too, thank you for teaching us the Word. Thank you and Dad
Praise God. Digging
in, for living the Word in front of us, living a life of integrity and living a life
Thank
of
you.
Faith. I am so, so grateful for all
Thank
that
you,
I know Julie. About the Word. I'm
Praise
grateful
God.
That innate and intrinsic in me.
I'm grateful to have that knowledge too. It would just be awful to be without faith in the earth.
That's true.
Without knowing the Lord and being on your own.
To be able to trust Him.
Yeah.
You know, when I read the Word, there's nothing in me that wants to argue.
No, it's
always
good.
It's just, you read it and you know it's true. He's proven Himself over and over and over again.
For many years.
And we're going to read in the Word about Jesus washing the disciples' feet and some of their responses and, you know, like Philip's response or Judas's response, or Peter, or Thomas, they had different responses to what Jesus was saying to them. But and even though Peter made a lot of mistakes, he trusted Jesus. He trusted Him with everything.
He did walk on the water.
He walked on the water because he trusted Jesus, you know. But even where he got his eyes off of Jesus, but he always was trusting Jesus to the nth degree to where he's ready to jump out there at any time.
Yeah, that's right.
And so I love that about Peter, but I wanted to say thank you today. And I wanted to say to people that are watching, if you're just now beginning to get a hold of the things that this ministry teaches, that my mom and dad teach, that you see on BVOVN or on these broadcasts, I want to encourage you to eat it all up. get as much as fast as you can. Because when you get these things in your heart, it will literally change your life.
Changes everything.
In my job here at the ministry, I get to travel and I get to talk to a lot of partners. I'm in a place where I hear a lot of longtime partners' testimonies, and it's always the same. The testimony, it has different details, but it's always the same. I started listening to your parents X amount of years ago, and when I started listening, I was, whatever the situation was, living in my car, didn't have a job, I was sick, I was this, I was that. And now, the testimony is, I was here, and now I'm here. I was here, now I own my own business, or I'm healed,
yes,
or I've been free from cancer for 20 years, or whatever
Isn't
it
awesome?
Is. It's always when people partner with the Word of God and decide that they're going to learn all that they can learn from you guys and people like you that teach the Word, their life changes.
Well, that's what our life did. It changed. My goodness, we went from poverty to whatever we ask for, we believe we receive it and we have it.
Always.
Always.
It always works.
Always.
The word always works.
Always works.
And so when we talked last week about faith for today, I just wanted to encourage people again, if you didn't hear it, go back and listen, especially if you've been going through something or you're like, I need faith for today, because that word will change your life and it'll change your circumstances and it'll change your future, because God has a good plan for you.
Faith is really, the word of faith, the Bible faith, is really a lifestyle, totally different from the natural realm, because all things are possible. You get sick, you can get healed. If you go broke, you can get money. How do you do that? By faith. How do you get faith? By finding out what God's already said to you, just believing it and taking it, and begin to say it and say, I have it now, I take it, and it'll work for you.
It really comes down to a trust in Jesus.
Sure.
And what He said to us.
Yeah, that's right.
So finding out what He said, trusting Him, and He always is faithful.
That's right.
He always comes through.
Praise God.
As we start this study for this week, and we're talking about more about faith for tomorrow, in other words, faith for what's ahead, faith for endurance with what He's calling you and will be calling you.
Believing God for a bright future.
You don't even know what He's calling you to do in the future.
But it's always good.
It's always good. And, you know, Friday we watched a testimony of a girl, and she grew up thinking, you know, I'm sure not thinking about being Miss Anything or winning a beauty pageant or a contest. God had something totally different in mind for her, but one obedient step at a time took her to His plan, which was better than she could have imagined.
Yeah.
And so, God, your faith today, the faith that you exercise today for tomorrow and for the endurance and what He's called you to do that you may not even know yet what He's calling you to do.
You know, when I was a girl, Kelly, I said, I'll never marry a preacher. I'll never marry a preacher. Of course, I didn't marry a preacher. When I married him, he was not a preacher.
Far from it.
But I'm so glad, so glad.
Y'all turned out okay.
We did. Happy.
You were the poultry queen at one point.
We don't want to talk about that.
We don't want to talk about that. That's one of my favorite stories. So.
Oh.
Another day. We're going to get letters wanting to know about what's a poultry queen. She was from Arkansas, and she won that. And,
the Miss Poultry. You didn't,
were you? No, you didn't win because you answered the question wrong.
Oh.
They asked you,
what is the
greatest agriculture?
Kelly, must you bring out my sordid past?
I just want people to see.
I was supposed to say
poultry.
Chicken, poultry. And I didn't know what to say.
I think you said cucumbers or something.
I don't know. I'll think of one to get even with you.
Oh, goodness. There's so many. And I'm so free now. You can say it all. I don't even care. I'm so free
of
who I used to be. Oh, I like us. I like me and I love you. So anyway, so Jesus had much challenges with the people that He chose to be around Him, which tells you that God is just bigger than we are.
Sure.
And He is bigger than our stuff. But in John 12, we'll start with a couple of verses in John 12 and then move on through John 13. I read some of it yesterday, but I just wanted to repeat some of these. I thought this was so good in John 12. 44, He says, if you trust me, you're trusting not only in me, but also God who sent me. So He's really talking to his disciples about trusting Him. Because there's a lot ahead for them that they're not aware of. And one reason I'm bringing this out is because we're stepping into some real change times in the body of Christ. And in the times that we're in right now, things are rapidly changing and we need to change pace with Jesus to keep up with what's going on and not get behind. We talked about that some last week, but He says, I've come as a light to shine in this dark world so that all who put their trust in me will no longer remain in the dark.
Yes,
I believe that we should lay hold of that and believe it and say, Lord, I trust you and I am not in the dark.
I walk in the light as he is in the light.
And I want to be right where you are. I want to know right what's going on. I want you to be able to easily lead me. I am easily led, easily guided because I trust you. And you don't even have to explain yourself. Just tell me what to do. Those are good things to say to the Lord. He says, and even tells us why we should trust him in verse 49. I don't speak on my own authority. The Father who sent me has commanded me what to say and how to say it. And I know his commandments lead. I know his commands lead to eternal life. So I say whatever the Father tells me to say. You know, always Jesus puts this back into our hands because he says, this is what I do with the Father. Now you do with that with me. He'll say in John, it says, John 15, he says, I abide in my Father. You likewise abide in me. Or I keep my Father's commandments. So you keep my commandments. And then when he was leaving the earth, he was telling the disciples, okay, I'm leaving, which they didn't want to hear. But he said, I'm sending you another and he'll take from me and give it to you.
Show it to you.
So now we have another level of communication. And you know, it's not like that old telephone game when humans play communication and they whisper in one ear and goes in the next and goes in the next. And when at the end, it's something totally different than what it started out. This is not God's communication style. God tells Jesus. The Holy Spirit takes from Jesus and gives it to us. So really, the Holy Spirit is our agent. I mean, he's the delivery agent for Jesus to download things into us, but he's also, the word expresses him as our agent to go get the things from heaven and bring them to us. He goes and gets what we need and brings them to us. The information that Jesus has for us, the Holy Spirit gets it and delivers it to us. He downloads it to us so that we get what the Father is saying to Jesus. Jesus is saying it to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit tells us. And we're in the chain.
And
we're in the loop.
We receive it or we reject it.
That's right.
This scripture says, if any man... 16. This is John 12, 46. I am come... this is Jesus. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness.
That's right.
And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words has one that judges him. Then the word judges him. In other words, the word I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Glory to God. And he said, I've not spoken of myself, but the Father which has sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. Now, life really begins to become abundant, blessed, health, everything you can think of when you begin to hear God's words and you believe it, you take it, and you say it, and you do it, and you receive it. Things really, I mean, it changes from a curse to a blessing.
Yeah.
That's the whole process. Isn't that great?
It is great.
Oh, my.
And
I'm
that's
so
his
thankful.
Plan for us. We can trust him.
Yeah, he has a blessing plan for us, but we do what? We walk out his plan.
And we have a Father.
Oh, yes.
We are not fatherless.
A good Father.
We are not out here on our own. We have a Father. We have Jesus. We have the Holy Spirit speaking to us all the time.
Yeah, you know, there may be somebody watching that says, well, I never had a father. I didn't have that. And I'll never have a father. You can have a father anytime you receive Jesus and the Father. The Father will look over you, watch over you, help you. Jesus will change things in your life. It's an awesome lifestyle.
We're never without.
No.
We're never without.
We have a Savior. We have a Father.
So then Jesus, in chapter 13, it says, before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew his hour had come to leave this world and return to his Father. He had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. So he loved those people not only to the very end, This is part of love. What he was doing here is part of his preparing them for success. But he's loved us. We're his disciples.
Yes, that's
he's
right.
loved us to the very end. He's not only loved you up to today, he's loved you already. His love is in place for you all the way to the ends of the earth.
Praise
his
God.
Love is in place for you. Says, the verse 3 says, Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything, and he had come from God and we've returned to God. Look, Jesus knew exactly what time it was.
Sure he did.
He knew exactly what day it was. He knew exactly what was coming, and he was not disturbed, and he was doing his best to pass that to the disciples. And he's doing his best for us to give that to us, but he can't make us, he won't make us take what he's giving us.
No.
So here he was with them, giving them comfort, giving them instruction. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, poured water in a basin, and he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had around them. They'd never seen him do this before. You know, before they saw themselves as servant to him, as workers for him, and they'd never seen him do this kind of action before. So what's he doing? And I think Peter's going, what's he doing? What do you think he's doing? You think he's going to wash my feet? Says, when Jesus came to Simon Peter, Peter said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, this caught my attention the other day. You don't understand now what I'm doing, but someday you will. You know, what's going on right now in the body of Christ and the way he's changing things, the way he's bringing people together, maybe bringing people together who have traditionally, religiously, in a religious form, have been enemies, even denomination. It's silly that we would even think of being an enemy to someone who proclaims to love Jesus just because they may not know as much as we do, or they may, in fact, know more than we do. Or they may just know different things than we do, which is mostly the case.
But we're all one family.
We're all one family. We're all one body. But God is bringing us together. So we need to be on the same page with that. We need to be not at war with each other. When Jesus said, hey, you guys, get together and get it right. I remember my brother and I used to fight all the time.
Tell me about it.
And they would be like, get it straight. Stop arguing with each other. And we would just fuss. I remember this one time. I've told y'all this story before, but we were arguing. I don't remember over what, but we were in Arkansas. And at the time, y'all have seen how beautiful that house is, but she worked so hard to get that house to look like that. And John and I were just fussing over something. And we just still didn't have like lawn or anything like that at the time. It was all this red dirt with rocks. There were so many rocks. At the time, I guess we could have made a fortune on rocks if someone would have bought them. Because we had rocks.
Not good rocks, rocks.
Just rocks. And so my mom hands us two grocery sacks.
Uh-oh.
And she said, you guys get out there and pick up rocks. That's like going and saying to somebody on the beach, go pick up the sand. There were so many rocks. And so John and I got so busy picking up rocks that we did forget to fuss. And then I think we were united in our angst against our mother to make us pick up rocks.
Y'all deserved it.
We did. We truly did. But she had to stop us from our arguing. So he's saying here, I don't know why I told that story. Picking up rocks is a good correction, I guess. But he said, you will never wash my feet. But Jesus replied, unless I wash you, you won't belong to me. So here's what I love about Peter, mother. He's like, no, Jesus, you're not washing my feet. And Peter is real. He always seems to be, at first, going in the wrong direction, like misunderstanding what Jesus is wanting him to do. But the second he gets it, he is all in. And he says, all it took was Jesus saying, look, if I don't wash you, you're not going to belong to me. So Peter exclaimed, Then wash my hands and head as well, Lord, not just my feet. He's like, if you're going to wash, wash it all.
Yeah, he jumped in.
He jumped in. But Jesus replied, a person who is bathed all over does not need to wash except for the feet to be entirely clean. And you disciples are clean, but not all of you. For Jesus knew who would betray him, and that is what he meant when he said, not all of you are clean. You know, I also saw something in this the other day about washing each other's feet, washing each other, because he said, this is something that you need to do. And I saw this sort of a different slant on this where the unity of the body is concerned, because I believe we're coming into a day when we're really going to be gaining from the different folds. Like with the walls coming down like they are, like he's bringing them down and we're all changing. As he does, someone who has been studying worship, someone who has been studying healing, someone who has been studying faith, someone who's been developing in the presence of God, someone who's been developing in dedication, all these different folds have been developing different aspects of God's heart, of God's expression of himself. And as we come together and wash the parts that aren't clean, like it's just going to be so quick, I believe, that we are all come to the unity.
Agreement
where we begin to understand, like there's so many people right now that are learning faith that hadn't been focused on faith. Maybe that's like the biggest part of the piece of the puzzle that they need to be full. Mm-hmm. And there's things we're learning. And it's like we're washing that little part of each other and agreeing with each other, and we're going to all be clean.
Praise
God. I just thought that was a great analogy that the Lord showed me. It says, a person who has bathed all over doesn't need to wash except for the feet. I already read that. Verse 12. After washing their feet, he put on his robe again and sat down and asked, do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, because that's what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. I tell you the truth, slaves are not greater than their master, nor is the messenger more important than the one who sends the message. Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them. And I'm not saying these things to all of you. I know the ones I've chosen. But this fulfills the scripture that says, the one who eats my food has turned against me. Now he's beginning to talk here about Judas. And he says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who welcomes my messenger is welcoming me. And anyone who welcomes me is welcoming the Father who sent me. He's all this time, and we'll pick this up tomorrow, but I want to just point out all this time, when he begins here, he is beginning to talk to them about what's coming. And we're going to, and then tomorrow we're going to see some more about that. But he's talking to them about what's coming, and he's saying, trust me. I'm hearing from the Father. If you trust me, you're trusting the one who sent me. If you trust the one who sent me, trust me. So he's trying to get them in the flow with him.
Yes, to agree with him.
But they're struggling with it. And I believe there's lessons we can learn that we get on the same page with him right away and don't struggle against what he's doing in these days.
Amen. Amen. How much time we got, Tim? We're out. We'll be right back.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Be sure to get the notes at kcm.org/notes. And remember, Jesus is Lord.